Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks for tuning in. Great to have you along. By the way, a special welcome to you if you're listening on our Faith Radio Network app. More and more people are doing that all the time, and we're honored to have you checking us out from wherever you might be around the globe. And if you don't have the app downloaded yet, call Ted because he actually knows how to do that. I'm not technically savvy enough.
Yeah, just a simple search here, you know, iTunes Store, Google Play. Search for Faith Radio Network. Those three words, Faith Radio Network.
So wherever you're listening, whether it's across the upper Midwest or in Hartford, maybe on our new FM signal there at 94.1 Hartford, glad to have you on board as well. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and Ted Ross at the controls. Chris is at the phones. And today we're going to talk a little bit about work, and I've got a quote from Edgar Bergen and from Groucho Marx, you know right away it's going to be really significant. So Edgar Bergen says, hard work never killed anybody, but why take the chance? Groucho Marx says, no man goes before his time unless the boss leaves early.
Right.
This anonymous quote, somebody said, when my boss told me this is the fifth time I'm late, I smiled and thought to myself, it's Friday.
Right.
Yeah, well, let's try something a little better. Tim Keller says, if God's purpose for your job is that you serve the human community, then the way to serve God best is to do the job as well as it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk today about doing our work well, doing it heartily as unto the Lord, and recognizing that it is our calling and our mission. And what would it look like if we really took to the work of ministry, if Christians in the workplace took to the work of ministry, and could we actually see revival take place in the workplace?
I think a lot of people feel trapped in their jobs, perhaps, so this could be a new way to look at your current calling and situation.
Looking forward to bringing on a guest today that is on a regular part of our Faith Radio lineup. If you listen on weekends at 1 p.m. Central Time each Saturday, you hear our guest Oz Hillman and Wayne Shepherd with their program Faith, Work, and Culture. In fact, you can find out more about that, faithworkandculture.com. But Oz Hillman is president of Marketplace Leaders. It's an organization whose purpose is to help men and women discover and fulfill God's complete purposes through their work and to view their work as ministry. And formerly, Oz owned an advertising agency, but he's now an internationally recognized speaker on the subject of faith and work. He's written at least a dozen, I think 14 books, maybe more, including Overcoming Hindrances to Fulfill Your Destiny, Change Agent. He also writes a daily email devotional called TGIF, Today God is First, and has at least 250,000 daily subscribers worldwide. So, and we are just honored to have Oz with us. He teaches the Change Agent Intensive Weekend Training Sessions, and they've given leadership to a new initiative called the Change Agent Network. We'll find out more about that. But Oz, first of all, welcome to Connecting Faith. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Neil. Good to see you or hear you. I can't see you, but good to connect.
Yeah, we had a chance to connect here about a year ago and have had you on the air here on Faith Radio. It's probably a year and a half or so. So it's we're glad to have connect with our programmers. And I want to find out a little bit about, invite you to tell a bit about your story. Maybe first of all, did the idea of marketplace ministry start for you when you were actually in advertising and marketing, or did it happen at a different time?
No, it was never on my radar screen. I was a Christian operating a business and had an ad agency for 12 years in Atlanta. But I went through a major crisis in 1994 that ushered me into a seven-year season of adversity in which I lost over $500,000, had a family loss, and my business went down 80%, and just had an incredible challenge time. It forced me into really seeking God and trying to understand that adversity. In the midst of that seeking time, God really met me, and I discovered that a lot of us in the workplace tend to separate our work life from our faith life. And as I began to realize that, you know, that so many of us do that, and I was doing that, and I also didn't understand, you know, God's perspective of adversity. So as I poured myself into all of that, the natural byproduct of that was that I began writing about things I was learning and just sending it off to a small group of people. And as I would write more and more, people would respond, and ultimately I would start speaking on the topic. And ultimately, after 7 years, I'd realized that, I'd birthed an international workplace ministry, not because I was trying to, but it was a response to my own adversity.
Ozzo, say more about that story. I mean, 7 years, that's Joseph-like. You've written about him on several occasions. I assume that there were times where you thought, well, maybe it's year two. All right, I've hit bottom now. Things are going to turn around. And then it just got worse and worse. I mean, what was that like, just kind of going down and down and down?
Well, it was tough. I was very performance-driven as a businessman, and I think part of what God was trying to get at was that as well. And so it was the process of God using that adversity to reveal some character issues that he wanted to help me with. And it was really 2 years into the 7 years that I met a man named Gunnar Olsson from the International Christian Chamber of Commerce out of Sweden. And when he heard my story, he said, "Oh, so you have a Joseph calling on your life." I said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "Well, it's usually a marketplace call in which a person's identity is around their adversity to be a spiritual and physical provider to others." And I said, "Wow, I've never heard of that." And so he really became my mentor at that time and became my spiritual father through that. And so over the next few years, I would begin to really invest myself in trying to understand what God was doing. And there were moments, it was the best and worst of times, because, so often when you get thrust into a very difficult circumstance, you come into a depth of soul experience. But it's also times where God meets you in very unique and powerful ways. And that certainly happened for me, where I had many, many circumstances where I could see the hand of God in the middle of them. Interestingly enough, at the end of my 7 years, I actually had all my finances restored. And I would ultimately end up going to 26 countries and now written 17 books and birthed this ministry. But it certainly wasn't my idea.
Was there a turning point, or was there a series of course corrections that, because I'm sure there are many others listening today. In fact, if you're maybe in one of those times of adversity and you'd like to just talk to somebody who has been there and understands what it's like to, be in that season of hardship and loss and struggling in life, and then business, taken away, you can give us a call at 877-933-2484. Love to have you join the conversation today at 877-93-FAITH. So, Oz, was there a turning point, or was it just a series of new directions?
Well, I think that it was a series of new things. As I would be, being faithful to small things, I would begin to see God opening doors and giving me favor in different things. And I often tell people will ask me a question like, when am I going to get out of my pit, related to Joseph's pit experience, right? And I say, well, it usually happens when it doesn't matter to you anymore. In other words, you've become dead to the process and you've totally turned your life over to the Lord's purposes. And that kind of happened for me. I'll never forget a mentor that came in my life during that first few years. And he said to me, "Oz, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just not dead yet." I said, "What do you mean I'm not dead yet?" He says, "Well, you've just not died so that Christ can fully live in and through you. And when that happens, you'll start to see a change." And that was a real truth. And I was struggling and trying to fight God on things. But once I finally began to yield and allow his purposes to happen, it seemed that things began to change and move me into a new direction.
So were the things that you were fighting God on, was it relating to, Lord, you're taking away my money, my pride is damaged, my influence, or which is kind of the way the world operates, or were there other things that you were wrestling with?
Well, I would say it was all of that and more. One of the things I discovered was that growing up, I had some insecurity issues that I didn't understand until I went through this process. And so my father was killed in an airplane crash when I was 14, and the finances were tough in our family. And so I discovered that I really worked out of fear and had some what we would call strongholds that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, and in order for God to bring us to be healed of those kinds of things, he often allows a crisis to happen so that we deal with them. And that would be the case for me. And so I discovered that, you know, God wanted to help me see that he was my provider, he was my security. And so that was a season and a series of events that helped me gain freedom in ways I'd never had as a businessman. And I think many of us business people have so much of our identity wrapped around what we do. And when that's removed, that can leave quite a void unless it's filled with God's perspective on things and our identity is, you know, fully in him.
We're talking in the moments ahead about when TGIF became Today God is First instead of Thank God It's Friday. And maybe you're more the latter than the former. I want to encourage you to stay tuned today as we talk with the Marketplace leader, the president of Marketplace Leaders, Oz Hillman, who is an international speaker on the subject of faith and work. And we're going to talk about how do we break down the wall of secular versus sacred, and what would it be like to see revival in the workplace, and what would happen if we as followers of Christ engaged in the work of ministry in the workplace and to see the power of God manifested at work. We'll get to all those things coming up. You want to join the conversation? We'd love to have you join in and share a bit about your story, maybe some of the work struggles or the challenges you're facing living out your faith at work. You can call us at 877-933-2484. Or if you happen to hear Oz Hillman every Saturday afternoon on Faith, Work, and Culture, and you want to just connect with him, maybe you have a question about something you've heard on one of the shows, love to have you join in. 877-93-FAITH. More with Oz Hillman coming up in just a moment.
Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart.
Today, God is First is the title of a outreach that Oz Hillman has put together and has been writing it for several years. In fact, thousands of readers around the globe read it each day, an email devotional. And it's in a written form as well. I've got a copy of it, Today, God is First, TGIF. I'm interested. Oz, by the way, is the president of Marketplace Leaders. It's an organization whose purpose is to help men and women discover and fulfill God's complete purposes through their work and to view their work as ministry. And Oz, I'm wondering, did the TGIF, was it Thank God It's Friday for you for a season in your life? Because it certainly is for many people in the work world today.
Well, it certainly was, even as a follower of Christ. I think that our work can be such, we can get out of balance with that. But, you know, the way I came to really understand that, you know, in Colossians 3:21-23, it says, whatever you do, do unto the Lord. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. And I began to notice as I was studying the scriptures how often we have this dualism in society that says this is spiritual over here and this is secular over here. And God never created our world to be like that. In fact, as a radio interviewer or a businessman or a lawyer or whatever you do, God says that is a ministry because you're doing it unto me. And so I see this still very prevalent in our society, and I see it even in our local churches where we think that ministry is only what happens inside the four walls of the local church versus, you know, 96% of the people out there who are working in jobs. They have a spiritual component to that work, and many times we check that faith at the door on Monday rather than realizing that Christ wants to reveal himself in every area, especially in our work life.
So are there some maybe overarching principles if we actually come to understand that, you know, doing the work of ministry, that our work is a calling and a ministry? What would be maybe the first thing that would change if we actually grasped that or started living that way?
Well, I think it would be first that as we have Christ living inside of us, what does it look like for Christ to manifest his presence in the area of my calling? What does it look like to do banking from God's perspective? What does it look like to sell cars from God's perspective? You know, it isn't just wearing a fish on our sleeve and for the purpose of evangelism, you know, as being out in the workplace. That's just one component. But really what he's trying to do is help us see that he's interested in what we do every day, and he wants to help us succeed. I think of even Jacob in the Old Testament, when he had to leave, he was trying to get out from under his uncle Laban, and he had to have a way of funding a new business. And God gave him a dream on how to fund his business and how to create a business out of sheep. And you look at David and God giving him a design for the temple, or Joseph solving a problem for Egypt and becoming number two in the land. And then for 81 years, you know, was number two in Egypt. So we see a lot of examples of God operating in the workplace, but we don't often connect the dots.
In fact, have one of your ministry outreaches called the Change Agent Network. Paint a picture for us. What would that look like if we actually saw ourselves as change agents in the place where we work?
Well, you know, when we look at Jesus, what was the primary thing that he did that seemed to make people want to follow him? And I think you could narrow it down to problem solving. Each time he encountered someone, they had some type of problem, usually, whether it be blindness or an issue of blood or needing to catch more fish or paying their taxes. You know, the New Testament is full of problems and solving of problems. And so I think that's really a key component for us in the workplace, that, you know, society really wants their problem solved. And if you can solve their problem, you'll have greater influence in that life. They don't care who solved the problem. They just want their problem solved. And if we as believers step in and are able to solve problems, then, you know, our stock goes up and people want to know more. And it's a natural byproduct of a healthy Christian life. And we see so many examples of that in the Bible. I think of the servant girl who worked with the king and said, you know, our general has leprosy and he doesn't know what to do. Well, she said, well, if he would just talk to the prophet Elijah, I believe that would help. And so ultimately the man followed the instructions and went in and went into the lake and did what Elijah said, and he was healed. So here was a little servant girl who had virtually no influence, and yet because she was a believer in God and knew how to possibly solve a problem, I think her stock went up after that.
Indeed so. You know, it's possible that if we're serving God at work or in our work, we're thinking, well, we'll be rewarded for that, but opposition could be the outcome as well. That's maybe unexpected.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's exactly what happened to David. He did his work so well that it caused that insecurity in Saul to crop up to the point that he became a murderer and tried to murder David. And so, you know, Jesus went to the cross for being obedient. So sometimes we can do our work very well and even be obedient. You know, I think of Moses that did everything God told him to do about warning the Israelites, but every time he'd go and, have another plague, it just caused more problems for him and more persecution from his own people until God came through in the final plague. So sometimes there's a process there that God takes us through that's a testing ground for us, and it's also a place of us seeing his hand work in the midst of the greatest challenge.
In fact, I was reading in one of your devotionals from Today Goes First, and you were talking about that, how, you know, we tend to focus on outcomes, but God focuses on process. Say a bit more about that.
Well, that's so true, isn't it? You know, and he's very big on being faithful to the small things, and before he entrusts us with the larger things. And so I learned many years ago that to be careful about not something that might seem insignificant to me might truly be significant to God. And so it's amazing how you'll be obedient to one thing, and he'll bring something in your path that was unrelated but a great blessing, because most likely because of your obedience. You know, Joshua 24:13 says, "I gave you a land that you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and vineyards you didn't grow." And what he's saying is that sometimes your obedience is going to give you less than what you think you should receive, but other times it's going to give you more because it's all tied to obedience.
We're going to talk more with Oz Hillman in just a moment, and we'll talk a little bit about what would it look like if a revival broke out in the workplace, and is that, in fact, something maybe God is desiring, and could we be a part of that, and how could we pray for a work and at work and all those things and live out our faith in the workplace. Oz Hillman, president of Marketplace Leaders, an organization whose purpose is to help men and women discover and fulfill God's complete purposes through their work and to view their work as ministry. You can join us with your phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if you have a question or comment, want to drop us a note, you can go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com and use the email link there. And we'll get to more with Oz Hillman in just a moment, author of 17 books, international speaker with us today on Connecting Faith.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
Good prayer for every day. Lord, it's not just about Sundays. No, it's every moment, every breath, work, home, church, wherever it might be. There's no wall between secular and sacred, and God has called us to work, and that it can be a ministry. We're talking about it today with Oz Hillman. Oz is president of Marketplace Leaders, and he is formerly owned an advertising agency, now an internationally recognized speaker on the subject of faith and work. He's authored 17 books and a daily email devotional called TGIF, Today, God is First, and has thousands of readers in 105 nations By the way, if you want to find out more, you can go to todaygodisfirst.com to get links to all the resources that Oz has available. Todaygodisfirst.com. Oz, no, you believe that revival could take place in our land, in our world, and that the workplace might be a place where that would start. You share a little bit in your devotional about, you know, back in the 1850s, workplace was a place where God began to move. What would revival, say, in New York City or Chicago or Baltimore look like today in the workplace?
Well, what you're referring to, Neil, is the 1857 revival with Jeremiah Lanphier, who was a single 40-year-old businessman on Wall Street. How unlikely is that that would start, right, with all the negative we hear about that? One block from Ground Zero there on Fulton Street, there was a little church there, and his church encouraged him to go out and start a noonday prayer meeting. Well, six people showed up the first prayer meeting, but within 6 months, more than 30,000 people were meeting for prayer every day at noon all over the city. And that became a catalyst for a revival in our nation, that well over a million people came to Christ at that time, and it spread abroad. So you never know who God might use to really cause a revival in our nation. God uses the strange things of this world to confound the wise sometimes. We even saw that in our election, didn't we?
Yeah, indeed we did. And there, which I guess is a reminder again, we need to be praying not only for our president-elect and new leaders in the Congress, but certainly we have to be praying for our business leaders as well. Say a bit about how should we pray about our work? Maybe what should we pray for?
Well, I think we should pray for direction in our work. Every morning I have a prayer time with my staff, and we just ask the Lord, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct thy path. And so I think that should be a common prayer for us, that he would give us witty ideas. He would show us what he wants to do in and through us in our work. What problems can we solve at our workplace that he gives us the answers to? We need to have a better sensitivity to the Holy Spirit operating in us in every moment of the day in our work life, and know that he is there in us, working in and through us to give us those ideas.
Oz, I haven't heard you talk at all about, well, we should be handing out tracts at work, or you know, wearing the buttons and the fish symbols, those things. What does it look like to live out our faith at work?
Well, you know, God said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we start thinking about our co-workers, of people that need the love of God, then we start thinking, you know, differently about them. And if we start thinking about how we can serve them, how we can solve their problem, how we can do things for them when they get in a difficult place, and, you know, demonstrating the love of God in a life, it makes such a difference. One of the simplest things I've ever seen that can often have great impact is simply when someone expresses a need or a problem, simply right on the spot, if it's appropriate, say, may I pray for you for that need? Many times people will willingly allow you to pray for them, and many times it does catch them off guard that someone's willing to do that, but often it can have great impact on their life, and it opens the door for them to, you know, maybe want to know more about what made you, you know, be so willing to pray for me, even in a public place. And it's a great way to, you know, I often say, you know, if we do what God calls us to do, the fish will often jump in the boat instead of us having to go out and catch them.
Oz, I know that, you know, we have seen more and more over the past few years of businesses or men and women of faith operating businesses that have been maybe targeted, or maybe even there's been wrongful accusations. Say a bit about that. Those are, you know, some of the aspects of adversity that I guess, you know, come for all followers of Christ, but it's certainly hard when it's maybe your livelihood, your business.
Well, you know, if you were to think about what has had some of the greatest impact on the culture from a Christian perspective over the last few years, it'd be hard not to mention the name Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. You know, both of those organizations took a stand on a cultural issue that they felt strongly about, and both of them came out on the other side, you know, positively and made a huge impact. And I think we need more businesses like that that are not willing, are not scared of the controversy and what they might be criticized for, but to stand in the gap for what is right, stand in the gap for righteousness and what we believe God's called us to do, rather than simply pandering to our society today that's moving more and more further away from the foundations that have made our nation great.
I know you think about the world's system, at least the business world, it seems like money, power, and pride are the currency of how it operates. So how do we as believers guard against getting caught up in those values and still have an influence?
Well, I think first thing is to recognize those are, you know, Satan's historic issues that, you know, he doesn't have a new game plan. You know, the old ones have worked fine. So he always goes after the pride, sex, dishonesty, you know, things that appeal to the senses of human beings. So we've got to check ourselves every day, submit ourselves to the Lord, have accountability in relationships so that we can really stay true to what God desires for us to be. And if we can do that, you know, I believe God blesses that life.
You've told about your story a bit here earlier this hour, that there were 7 long years of loss. You know, there are, we hear about businesses all the time that are facing failure one sort or another. It's not easy to do, though. How do we face failure and find purpose and meaning in those times of adversity?
I think we need to have a different perspective of about adversity and think about adversity as simply a level of experience that God's giving us, and also a level of new authority and anointing in our lives as we go through that. Whenever we go through something and get victory in that, and I believe that is God's desire for us, is to have victory over these things. You know, death without resurrection, you know, is not anything he desires. He wants a resurrection. And that's where the power of testimony comes in. But it also allows us to have the authority to minister from that place when we are serving other people. I have a guy in my Bible study. We do a small group every other week. And he's gone through an incredible adversity where he got affected by a Bernie Madoff type of scam as an investment advisor. And the SEC is suing him. And, you know, they want over $1 million from him. And so he's in the heat of the battle, heat of the fire. And so I've told him, I said, you know, there's going to be another side of this, and that he's building something in you even through this this fire and this adversity. But you just have to hang on, take one day at a time, and consider the grace of God for each day, each minute. And sometimes that's all we can hope for when we've gone through severe adversity. So it's really casting yourself all on the Lord for him to guide you through those seasons.
Did you find yourself asking why when you were in that dark time, the difficult time, or were you able to see God's greater purposes?
Absolutely. Yeah, you wouldn't be human if you didn't ask the question why sometimes. And, you know, but often God doesn't give you the why. He gives you the who, you know. And you know, someone said the person who's really sold out to the Lord is a person who doesn't have to ask the why question, because they're secure in knowing God, knowing that God knows all the answers, but that we can wait to know those answers later. And that's easier said than done sometimes when you're in the middle of it. But God did a lot of almost every leader in the Bible, you see, went through extraordinary adversity. And so many times the entry door to the larger story of your life is through a crisis. Just look at Martin Luther. You know, his crisis began with a conflict in his soul over theology and what the Bible said. Or Martin Luther King, who was ushered in through the fact that a woman wouldn't give up the seat on the bus, and he was ushered into that battle. You can just go over and over. You know, the Apostle Paul, struck blind by Jesus and ushered him into his larger story. Just look at every character in the Bible. You'll usually find some type of event that was a catalyst to usher them into the larger story of their life.
Well, speaking of stories, and you've shared much of your story and write regularly your daily devotional, Today God Is First. Also authored some 17 books. Just say a bit about the resources that you have available, because you're teaching and training all the time, and I know your goal is to equip us to really see and fulfill God's plans and purposes for us at our workplace, which is where we spend most of our day.
Yeah. Well, Neil, we're an equipping organization. We try to help believers grow in their faith. And one of the primary tools that have helped many people all over the world is our daily devotional called Today God Is First. And as you mentioned earlier, they can go to our website, todaygodisfirst.com, to get that devotional free. And then another resource that we have is our Change Agent Network. And this has dozens and dozens of online training resources, of video courses and case studies and leadership profiles. And we're actually launching our brand new version of that this week. And they'll go, if they go to becomeachangeagent.com, that's becomeachangeagent.com, they can learn more about that. That won't be the brand new site, but we'll be turning the engine on that brand new site by Friday.
Good. Well, Oz, we look forward to hearing you this weekend. Love what you're doing with Wayne Shepherd each Saturday, Faith, Work, and Culture. And we're looking forward to hearing you this weekend, and hopefully we can chat again soon down the road.
All right, Neil. Thank you so much.
Oz Hillman, president of Marketplace Leaders. He's author of that wonderful devotional, and you can get it emailed to you. You can go to sign up for that today at todaygodisfirst.com, todaygodisfirst.com. And you can listen for Oz Hillman on Faith, Work, and Culture each Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock Central Time, right here on the Faith Radio Network. Coming up in a moment, we'll do our regular church and culture conversation with Leith Anderson. That's just ahead as you continue to stay with us here on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, along with Ted Ross and Carissa on the phones, and Leith Anderson with us. Leith has been president of the National Association of Evangelicals for the past now 11 years, was senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for 35 years, and regular teaches in seminaries and addresses evangelical concerns with elected officials, and provides theological and cultural commentary to leading news outlets. And that's why we're honored to have him with us every other Wednesday as we talk church and culture. Leith, welcome. I want to maybe start out with thoughts about this coming Sunday, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Let's just jump in there. How could we use this day to maybe reevaluate our commitment to affirming life?
The good news is it's an opportunity to reevaluate. You know, I think if it weren't for Sanctity of Life Sunday, there would be a tendency to say, well, The thing yesterday, it's sort of a stalemate, so we could just forget about it and move on to other things. And this brings us back to the sanctity of human life. So human life is a creation and a gift from God. And how do we perceive it?
Well, the bad news is that there are too many legal abortions in the United States, over 600,000 in the past year. But the good news is there's a lot less than there used to be. Back in 1990, there were almost 1.5 million abortions in the United States. Well, you know, what should we do? Well, we should pray.
Pray for the politics, but more than that, pray for those who are pregnant and who are considering an abortion, that they reconsider and provide friendship.
And relationship is so important, that someone who is considering an abortion, I don't know, feel support, feel that somebody's there to help and to understand. And I think also, individually in our churches, we need to be doing what we can do after people give birth to a child instead of choosing an abortion, because that's what many people are afraid of. They're afraid, what am I going to do if I have this baby? And to know that there's help there.
Church and friends and family are going to stand by.
Leith, we're going to do a quick reconnect on the phone there. I think we got into a bad cell area coverage, and so we're going to just make a reconnection and continue our conversation. Leith Anderson joins us every other Wednesday for a little faith and church culture connection, and we're looking forward to catching more with him in just a moment.
You could kind of make out some of what he said there, just about it's caring for people that are pregnant in that uncertain time, and trying to care for those that are, you know, trying to make a decision, perhaps, and just come alongside them and support them, pray with them, and help them see all the options. So
the good news is that even though there are still many abortions taking place, there are less than it was. So perhaps the tide is turning, and we certainly want to continue to pray that as the new administration comes in, that there's even more done as a result.
Maybe just take this opportunity, Neil, to mention some of the resources on our website, too. In the new year, there's a great book we're giving out by Greg Laurie. Mm-hmm. His program, of course, is A New Beginning, very appropriate for those that are trying to turn over a new leaf, perhaps, in this new year. But his book is excellent as well.
Called Running to Win, and you can get a free copy of that if you go online, sign up at myfaithradio.com. All right, Leith, we're back on. Thanks. Sorry about that, the connection there with... I wanted, you know, we're talking about Human Life Sunday, but also, you know, Monday, the day after, is another important day as well.
That's right. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is coming up on the 16th, that Monday. And, Leith, this is a time right now where the nation has the opportunity to talk about racial reconciliation, very much in the news, of course. What's your assessment on steps needed among evangelicals specifically to more effectively model a biblical standard of reaching out to people of all ethnicities?
Race is an important issue, and you're right.
I mean, it has really come back into the forefront of the topic with all the news events of this past 2016. Last night, when President Obama gave his farewell address in the Crown Place in Chicago, he really said something interesting. He said, the United States is at a better place. We've come a long way, but we also have a long way to go. And there are things that, as evangelical Christians, I think, at least for me, and I would say for others, are really important to have good relationships, personal friendships, and relationships with people of other races. But it's more than that. You know, surveys show that individual Christians really often are pretty good about their relationship to and treatment of people with other races, but often forget that there are racial injustices that are into our social systems. And that's not just a personal thing. That's sort of a systemic thing, like in our criminal justice system and in our schools. And what we need to do is we need to be willing to address these things, but we need to learn from people who are different. And you may know that I do a podcast regularly, and the podcast that comes out the 15th of this month of January, which is available at NAE.net. And it's with Claude Alexander, who is a prominent African-American leader, pastor in Seattle. And what it's about is his answering the question, what do white Christians need to learn from black churches? And it's that type of relationship and conversation I think is really important to be biblical, to be Christian in terms of race and relationships.
Can you give us a tease on what one answer would be? What do white churches need to know? How can we better understand?
Well, I'll give you something I thought was really good and really interesting. There are many white Christians in America who really are concerned, and I think rightly so, about losing religious liberty. And what are we going to do if we've been in the majority and now we're marginalized? How do we cope with that? Claude Alexander said, the African-American church has centuries of experience of what it means to be a minority, of what it means to have unjust laws, and has learned how to be faithful to Jesus Christ and scriptures in the context of laws that they would not have chosen, and that we can learn from them. I think that's a great insight and lessons that white churches and white leaders need to learn.
Leith, we're going to wrap up our conversation here a little bit early. We just got the phone quality is just a little short today, sadly. But we love getting together with you, and I know we've got some more things we want to talk about, and we will save them for our next time. But I want to wish you blessings here as you continue on. And just a reminder again, at NAE.net, the place to check out those podcasts, right?
That's the right place. Let me say that this is a commentary on life. Sometimes the connections are not as good as they seem.
That's okay.
It is often the case, isn't it? But we also appreciate Leith Anderson carving out some time for us, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, longtime pastor and author of over 20 books, talking with us today about church and culture. And we'll connect with him again as we do each and every other Wednesday. So we'll get to that in a couple of weeks, and we've got some more questions we want to ask him. And you may actually have a question as you listen to our conversation with Leith over time. We'd love to have you let us know. I'm going to take a minute right now, though, to hear from Steve Douglas, who has inappropriate words. We've been talking about, you know, understanding each other, coming from different perspectives. Steve Douglas has a good word.
Just what kind of conversation can lead someone to the good news of Jesus Christ? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. And our guest, Richard Lee, says that understanding is the key.
I think that one of the keys is to understand where they are. I'm first of all trying to find a common ground that he or she may have. And there's always a common ground. Perhaps it's their love for family. Perhaps it's an interesting sport they're involved in.
Finding common ground can lead to spiritual conversations.
Be normal, not super spiritual. And have a sincere interest in the individual, and in sincerity, share Christ.
Now that is a relief. You can just be yourself as you talk with others. As they see your sincere interest in them, doors can open for you to share the gospel. To learn more about sharing your faith, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
But earlier this hour, if you were listening earlier, and Oz Hillman talking about, you know, ways that we can live out our faith at work, he said, well, people need the love of God. And so we need to look for ways that we can love them and serve them and help solve their problems and just pray for them on the spot.
Yeah, and just by living out your faith, how often do you hear of people coming to Christ or coming to somebody that is a believer and just going, what's your secret? How come you seem so happy all the time? Or, you know, I know that you're going through a hard time and yet there's a smile on your face. What's that about? Opens the door to that faith conversation.
You want to check out the Oz Hillman devotional, Today God is First. Go to todaygodisfirst.com, and you can sign up for that, the email devotional, you and a couple million other people that read it every day, which is it's a good resource. By the way, we've got great resources and great programming here on Faith Radio, and if you're new to Faith Radio, just a reminder, we've adjusted our program schedule a bit. Coming up here after Connecting Faith, the new program, Destined for Victory with Paul Shepherd. That's now heard each weekday afternoon, 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern, here on Faith Radio. So I want to just encourage you to make a point to listen to this gifted, dynamic preacher, and you'll be encouraged by the message and help you grow in your faith. Destined for Victory with Paul Shepherd. Coming up here right after this program, right after the news. And then this evening at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, it's The Urban Alternative with Tony Evans. Those both new programs to our daily radio lineup here at Faith Radio. So hope that you listen in, make a point to listen, and let us know how those programs or others have encouraged you. We always love to get feedback, and you can let us know at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.
Got a great show tomorrow as well.
Talk and Cherish with Gary Thomas, the one word that changes everything in your marriage. Join us then.